are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
You and I continue to face. Join me now as we pray and ready our hearts. Father, we're so grateful. Every day we realize that you don't have to do what you do, but we're so thankful that you do. You've kept us safe. Yes, we protested about being at home and being inside, but we realize that every time we're there, we know that we're in a place of safety. And while the country is seeking to open up again, we pray for the wisdom that we need to understand how to continue to practice safe behavior. So thankful for looking over us, looking beyond our faults and seeing our needs. So grateful that the news is still reasonably well among family and friends, and even among the church family. Some have been touched with sorrow, but yet you've been gracious through it all. And now, Lord, we come to this time in your word. I pray again that you would lift again your human out of self, and that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. That you would speak to us and through us in this moment of sharing, and bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditation that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Celebrating 129 years is just amazing to think of. About all of the people that God has used in this journey. And yet he's allowed us to be a part of the present. I want to direct your attention, as we have been hanging out in this psalm continually, to the 121st number of the psalm. 8 verses there that claims our attention. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is our call to worship. Should I say the word of God for the people of God? I want to preach this morning from the subject, where does help come from? Where does help come from? I guess it's a right question, because you have to think about it. When your world turns dark and your journey turns rugged, the issue is, where do you look for help? What is the source for the confidence you need to face the headwinds of life? And I don't have to remind us of the challenges that these days have been. And yet, although it looks as if it's easing up, the truth is, it yet may be a while. I'm glad to see some of the processes moving and some of the places beginning to open, but I still think wisdom is needed to be careful. And I think we still have to understand where our help truly comes from. On yesterday, I was kind of riding through the city, and I was just kind of looking at places, and I rolled through UAB. And I was really caught off guard, even though I know that we've been a part of this pandemic and people have been on stay-at-home notices. but I was thinking about my health. And as I rolled through the university campus, I realized that my help cannot come from the educational institutions. No one was there. I realized that as I rolled past Veterans Hospital and then turned down toward University Hospital, I realized that if I was sick, my help couldn't come from there. Because unless I met certain conditions, they would not even let me in. I realize, as I've listened to so many people, to understand that there are still others who have not yet received stimulus checks or unemployment opportunities, have not yet begun to pour in. And so I realize that help cannot necessarily come from the government because it's slow. Help can't really come from your family because they are quarantined and in isolation. So the question does beg to be asked and to be answered. Where does your help come from? It's a legitimate question. It's a question that all of us must ponder and must come up with the right answer. The traditional answers that we have been able to regurgitate just don't get it anymore. Could always pick up the phone and call somebody and they would come, but that's not necessarily true. I heard of an occasion this week where a man and his wife went to the grocery store, and they both were wearing their mask. And when they returned home and they took off their mask, he realized he had brought the wrong wife home. Got to be careful where your help come from. Got to be careful. In these days where you can't really truly identify who's really you're talking to. So where does your help come from? I'm glad the psalmist raised the question, and he doesn't leave us in the dark about the answer. He says very clearly that my help comes from the Lord. And we're going to talk about that today. I found that this psalm, this 121st number of the psalm, is labeled or pre-labeled a song of degrees. Now, songs and music has always been a part of my life, and I've always been inspired and intrigued by the writing of certain songs. When I was a young man, they sung a different kind of song. They sung songs based upon what was going on in their life. Songs like "When a Man Loves a Woman, Can't Keep His Mind on Nothing Else." They sung songs like "I Miss You," "You're a Big Girl Now," all kinds of things. And they spoke of the love. They spoke of the relationship that was in their life. But this song is not that kind of song. The songs of accents or the songs of degrees were songs that were written, many of them, by David, but they were used by the pilgrims, the children of Israel, as they made their way to worship in Jerusalem. Often, Jerusalem is a city that's on a hill, and the mountains of Zion, as they would go and make their way around and near the city, they would sing songs. Often, see, there was no such thing as taxi cabs in those days. There was no such thing as Uber. They all used Chevrolets. They shoved the left one and laid the right one. They walked. They walked wherever they went. Yes, they had a Honda because they were all on one accord. But they walked. And if you've ever walked with a group of people, you know you need some form of entertainment. And to keep their minds centered on their purpose for where they were going and what was to happen when they got there, they sang these songs of accent. There were 15 of them, starting with the 120th number of the psalm through the 134th, sometimes some people say the 119th number of the psalm, but all the way through the 134th number of the psalm, those were called songs of degrees. As they went higher, they sang. As they drew closer to Jerusalem, they sang. Now, some traditions even say that maybe that might have been one of the purposes for the 129th first number of the psalm. Others say that it was because of the stairwell that was in the courtyard of the temple. That there were 15 steps and the priests would be aligned on the steps and they would sing these songs as songs of degrees. Some have even suggested that this is a soprano, alto, tenor, bass kind of ascending song. That each of the parts starting low and going up to high would be why the songs are called songs of degrees. But I believe the first definition that they sang them as pilgrims traveling. And that's my point today, that we need to have a song that we can sing as we're traveling through life. Listen at the songwriter. Listen at the psalmist when he raises the first question. He says, not a question, but he makes a rhetorical statement. He said, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. Now, please don't misunderstand. He was not asking a question at that point. He was talking about himself as a traveler on his way to Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, in the hills would be bandits. In the hills would be trouble. In the hills would be all forms of evil. And this man is really saying, as I travel, I lift my eyes to the hills to see what's going to happen, where the trouble is coming from. And I believe you and I can identify with that, because that's the way it is with us. As we go through life, we must lift our eyes to the hills. That is, we must be aware always of our surroundings. We live in a mean world today. And you can never be too sure. People are playing all kinds of games. People go to the service station and leave their cars running. And before they know it, their car has been taken. Women not paying attention, leave their purses open or leave their purses by itself. And before they know it, someone has taken their purse. You have always got to be aware. You've got to be aware as you go from day to day of the dangers that lurk in the hills. And so rightly then, if I recognize that as I go through life, there are going to be these unexpected circumstances that may creep up from nowhere without me being aware of it, I need to know, where does my help come from? Is there a place where I can be assured that I will have help? And this writer says, my help. Touch somebody and say, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, what a place. Here's what I want to help you understand, that the answer to the question, where does help come from? The answer is, help comes from God's sustaining power. God's sustaining power. See, not just from God, but from his power. Last week we looked at the word, as we looked at the 119th number of Psalm, and we looked at the clarifying power of the word. But today what I want you to see is the sustaining power of God. The word does one thing, because the word is from God and of God. But in the case of real life situations, we need to know that there is power available to us to sustain our lives. And I came to tell you the good news. Yes, it is. And it's manifest in four different ways. And that's what I'm going to drop in your spirit now. Have seat. First, we need to understand that God's power, God's sustaining power, is made available to us through his help. He's our helper. God is our helper. Secondly, God's sustaining power is made available to us in that he keeps us. And aren't you glad to know that somebody else keeps you? I can't keep myself. Can't keep my mind straight. Can't keep my foot on the right path. Need some help to keep me. Then thirdly, God's sustaining power is manifested in that God is our protector. And if we're going to be traveling through the hill country, we need to know that there's some protection that's available to us. I'm talking about protection that when the popo can't get to you. I'm talking about protection when you're out of cell phone distance. And when there are no towers or other forms of communication, that there is protection available for you. And then God's sustaining power is manifested in the fact that he preserves us. He holds on to us. He keeps us. And that's what we want to talk about today. And I believe if you could walk away from this message today with an understanding, with the clarity of this, you can be assured in your mind that you will be all right. Regardless of what else happened, regardless of what else comes out of the hills, regardless of what else comes out of the woods, whether it comes from China, whether it comes from America, whether it comes from Japan, I don't know where the virus comes from, wherever it comes from, I'm so glad to know that I have somebody who will help me. And that's what this writer said. God is my helper. He said, I lift my eyes to the hills. He said, where does my help come from? He said, I know where mine come from. My help come from the Lord. Now that's affirmation right there. And that's where we need to know that as we go through life, he anticipates the difficulty of his journey, but he knows that he has help. Aren't you glad to know that you have help? Help just cannot be found everywhere now. And you can't find good help either. There was a time you could find good help. Used to be in the old days, man, if you wanted somebody to help you, you find a brother. Brother would help you. But now if you want to find a sorry mess, you find a brother. Somebody need to know it's the truth. You can't say amen, just say ouch. It's all right. Listen, this man says he understood where he knew he could get help from. Not in the hills of Judea, not among the bodies of men or human. He knew that his help had to become beyond what he could see. And help is not always what you see. It's where it is. It's the source of it. And he understood that lifting his eyes was a gesture of prayer. When you lift your eyes, when you lift your eyes up, you're expecting somebody up there to help you. I remember one time hearing about a story of a man who was in New York and he was washing windows. And he was out on one of those little window washers, and he was washing the windows, and a strong wind came through and began to blow him back away from the window, and he started praying. And he started praying, and he looked up his eyes, and he said, Lord, what must I do? And he heard a voice from heaven saying, turn loose. And he looked back up there and said, anybody else up there? What I want you to understand is when you're looking for help, you don't need to be looking down. You don't need to be looking down at your circumstance. You don't need to be looking down at what's going on around you. You don't need to be looking down at your feet. You need to always look up. When you look up, at least you are cognizant of where you're looking. But your help comes beyond the realm of human. Your help comes beyond the realm of earth. Listen at what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples one day in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 26. He said, men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heaven and earth shall be shaken. And then when you see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. For your redemption is drawing now. Jesus said, you need to know where to look when trouble is everywhere. And trouble is everywhere today. Everywhere you go, there's trouble. Everywhere you go, there's strife. Everywhere you go, there's something that worries you. But you got to remember, God standing by. Yes. So when you look to God, not the hills, but beyond the hills, to the God who makes the hills. What kind of help can you expect to receive? I'm glad you asked. This man said, my help. I'm glad that I have some help. And my help gives me what I need. My help helps me escape the clutches of my enemies. I got enemies. You got enemies. We all have enemies. Diabolos, the devil, is our enemies, and he stirs up into people, and those enemies are always looking to grab you. But I thank God that I got help to deliver me from the hands of my enemies. I'm glad that I got help to get me out of any form of trouble that may come upon me suddenly. Sudden trouble blows the mind. When you something you can anticipate for, and when you can anticipate, you can kind of make some preparations. You can make some kind of plan, some kind of intent, some type of alternative. But when it comes suddenly, unexpectedly, you don't know where to go. You don't know where to look. But I'm glad that we got that kind of God who helps us in our trouble. I have help, and I need the help as a pastor, as a minister. I need help in performing my daily duties. Sometimes, as a human, I'm burned too. Sometimes, as a human, I'm spent too. Sometimes, as a human, I'm at my wit's end too, and I need help to be able to do what God has called me to do. No one assumes this responsibility and then assumes the natural ability to be able to perform everything that needs to be done like it needs to be done every single time. You just can't do it without help. And I'm thankful that my help helps me to take care of my duties. I'm thankful that I have help in the exercising of grace. I've been a recipient of grace, and so sometimes it is expected of me to be gracious to others. And I need help in being gracious. We all, because we have a human nature, and that human nature that's not only sinful, but it's also selfish, will sometimes cause me not to want to do the good that I could do, even when I could do it for somebody. So I need help in exercising the grace that I need to share and perform with others. I need help in bearing my cross. We all have crosses to bear, and no one else can help you bear your cross. No one else can do for you what you can't hardly do for yourself. And I need help in bearing my cross. Jesus had to have help in bearing his cross. They grabbed a hold of one named Simon Cyrene and put him under to help Jesus physically carry his cross. And if Jesus had to help to bear his cross, you know you got to have some help to bear your cross. Some crosses just seem like it's so unbearable. But God will come underneath it with you and help you bear your cross. That's what he said. Jesus said it like this. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. In other words, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'll get under it with you. I'll help you. And I'm amazed at the psalmist, because the psalmist didn't have the fullest revelation. He didn't know of the finished work of Christ. He only knew of God in heaven. And yet that God in heaven helps us to bear our cross. I'm glad that I have help in fighting my battles. I would lose my mind if I had to fight every battle in my own strength. There are times when I wake up and I'm already in the middle of a battle. There are times when I walk into a room or walk into a meeting and I'm already in the middle of a battle. Not one that I planned, not one that I laid out, not one that I even caused. But I'm thankful that I have help in fighting my battles. And I'm glad that I got help as I go through my journey in life. So as I go through my journey in my life, I look unto the hills. I'm looking for where it's going to come from next. But I know that I got some help. And my help comes from the Lord. And when God helps, listen, how many know that when he helps, it comes quickly? God's help comes quickly, and God's help is expected. You ought to be encouraged. You ought to be encouraged today to expect help from God. I listened the other day to the news. I listened to one woman who said that she called the unemployment line over 300 times and never got a voice of anyone to talk to. And she was about to lose it because she did not know where help could come from. Help comes from God. And when he answers, I mean, he's sooner than right now, faster than immediately. And he will come through. Yes, he will. You know, you need to know he will come through, because there is nothing that God can't do. There's nothing impossible for the Lord. There's nothing that he can't make happen. Now, the government might be an agency, the banks might be an agency, but it's God who moves and causes them to release. One writer, John, I think it says, it's the wealth of the unjust that's laid up for the just. And when God is ready to release it, they can't keep it no matter what they want to do with it. So we got help. And then look at what he says. He said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, when he added that, made heaven and earth in it, he's calling the Lord Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah, because that's all the psalmist knew about. He didn't know about Jesus. He knew about Lord Jehovah. And Lord Jehovah is the one, is the name for God, is the name for Yahweh, is the name for the Creator. But it's also the name for Jesus, because when the disciples wrote about it, John writes about it in John 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that's who made heaven and earth. When God made heaven and earth, he spoke it, and things showed up. And that same God can speak it today. Oh man, sometimes when I need peace, he just speaks it to me. Sometimes when I need a friend, he makes the right one show up. Sometimes when I need a favor or need something, God just speaks it. And it happens. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that I have help. Are you grateful for the help that you have in the Lord? But not only is he our helper, but look at verse 1 and 2 says he's our lift my eyes from the hills. Help come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. But look at verses 3 and 4. There we see he's our keeper. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. What is that about? Not only do you have help, but you can have stability. In this unstable, unbalanced world, you can have stability. And you can have the assurance of the stability, because the Lord keeps the feet of his saints from falling. That's good news. He will not suffer. And that word suffer means permit. God will not permit your foot to be moved. God won't let you slip. God won't let you fall. I know sometimes when you're climbing a mountain, the rough side of it especially, you know how you have to be so careful when you're climbing up the rough side, because it's so easy. And we know the deadly danger of one false step in climbing up the mountain. But the Lord keeps us. And not only does he keep us and not allow our foot to be moved. And what do you mean, not allow our foot to be moved? He means not being moved from the spiritual foundation that we have. Your foot is secure in Jesus. When you stand on the rock, and Christ is the rock, the solid rock we stand, then God ensures that your foot will not be moved. My foot don't get moved, but sometimes it slip a little bit. Anybody know your foot slip a little bit? Sometimes feel like I got grease on the bottom of my feet. And I'm not always able to to do it like I want to do it, to walk as steady as I want. But listen, my foot may slip, but it won't be enough to allow me to fall and to fall out of God's grace and to fall out of God's mercy. That's the assurance of stability. Yes, on my own, if I was left by myself, I would look like a drunk man. I would be stumbling everywhere I go. But because of the stability, the stabilizing power of the Holy Spirit, my foot can be made straight and my path can be made plain. And what I love about this, listen to what he says. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. What do you mean, Pastor? It means that I got somebody who's watching over me 24/7 to make sure that I stay in the right place, that I stay focused on what I need to stay focused on. This old crazy mind will wander sometime, but God redirects it and gets it right back in the place it needs to get. Our feet sometimes will want to move away from the path, but God, by his Holy Spirit, guides us right back that we might be stable. And what I love about God is this. Listen to what he said. He said that there are some things that he doesn't give to anybody else to do. God doesn't mind sharing and designating tasks and chores, but the keeping of his saints is something he gives that he doesn't give to anybody else. It's what he does himself. He doesn't give that charge to angels. Angels are messengers. They can go up and down the ladder. They can tell you what God said. They can direct and they can give you God's word and whisper in your ear God's comfort. And they can even grab a wheel. But the keeping power is something God does for himself. He's the keeper of every individual saint. Isn't that good news? That God keeps you and God keeps me. And God keeps you and God keeps you and God keeps you and God keeps every one of us. That's what shepherds do. Shepherds keep sheep, and Jesus is our good shepherd, and every one of his sheep he keeps. Not one of them is lost, which means he keeps every member of the church. No matter where you go, no matter what congregation you may be associated with, if you are a part of the body of Christ, God keeps you. I can't keep me. You can't keep you. What I love about the Lord is he keeps us by his power. And he has the power to keep us. And he keeps us by his grace. And he holds us by his right hand. And he guides us. How does God guide us? He guides us by the counsel of his word. And that way he keeps us on track in our life. I am so thankful. I am so helped. I am so confident when I think about it. I got help and I got somebody who keeps me. He keeps me and he keeps on blessing me over and over and over again. Aren't you glad for the continual blessing of God? Aren't you glad for his keeping power? That's why I pray that. When I pray, Lord, keep me by your keeping power. Not by my keeping power. My power is not enough to keep me. I can't keep nobody. I can't keep myself. I can't keep my children. I can't keep my family. I can't keep my money. I can't keep nothing. The preachers was on a train, man, and they were talking. And they said, man, go ahead and tell your secret, man. We all sin. And one preacher said, well, brothers, I just got to tell you, I can't keep no peace. I got to stir up some trouble. Another preacher said, well, I guess since y'all confessing, I'll tell it. I can't keep my hands off the sisters. I got to touch them. And by that time, they pulled up in the station, and it was time to get off the train. And they said, wait, brother, wait. You hadn't told us your secret. What is your sin? He said, brothers, I can't keep nothing to myself, and I can't wait to get off this train to tell everybody about y'all. None of us can keep ourselves. Thank God for the keeping power that God gives. Listen, what I like about this fourth verse, he said, behold, he who keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. Now, slumber, you know what it is to slumber, is to be in twilight, is to be almost asleep, but not yet fully gone. You know, when you're gone, somebody got an expression, said you're dead to the world. You don't even know anything when you're fully gone. But when you're kind of in a twilight sleep, you can still kind of hear things and you still are kind of somewhat aware, but you're not fully aware. God in heaven is the kind of God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. In other words, he's a faithful watcher. He keeps watch adequately over us. That's why I can sleep at night. Because if God is not going to slumber and neither sleep, then why does it need for both of us to stay up? If he got the night shift, I'm going night-night. Thank God for his keeping power. That means you have 24/7 protection. You know, we all got problems. Many of you got security systems in your home. And when you're in for the night, you put your security system on instant, which means that if the alarm goes off, you know something is going awry. But I thank God that God watches over us. That God watches over us in the day. He sees us wherever we are. That God watches over us at night. And he keeps his arms around us. He's our helper. He's our keeper. But thirdly, he's our protector. As we go through journey, look now, I want you to see the picture in your mind. I want you to see the pilgrims. I want you to see the summers. I want you to see all of the people as they're making their way. They lived in Galilee. They lived all over Palestine. And they were required, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, to go up to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year for the various feasts that they had to go. And as they would go, some would be talking, some would be running, but as they got near the city, they would be singing, and as they would be ascending the hills, their minds would refocus on God, because they would remind themselves of what they had in him and who they had in him. We have someone who's our helper. We have someone who is our keeper, and we have someone who is our protector. Look at verses 5 and 6. Listen to what he said. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. That is, God is the one who will defend you, and God is the one who will protect you. Now, you can imagine, they're moving from Galilee to Jerusalem. Galilee was in the north. Jerusalem was in the south. And they would have to go through the hot sun. And you know how hot it can get. And just imagine, there were no things as shields and all of the crazy hats that we wear today. And even those hats would get hot on your head. But in that part of the world, the sun is vicious. And they could easily pass out and fall out from heat stroke and whatever related it may be, but he says, the Lord is thy keeper. He's thy shade upon thy right hand. That is, when it gets too much out there, God knows how to whip up a little shade to give the people a little reprieve. Isn't that good to know that God knows how every now and then to give you a little shade when life has gotten too hot, when things have gotten too uncomfortable? When it's gotten more than I can bear, God raises shade. And he does it with his right hand. Right hand is always the hand of strength. It's always the hand of power. And you know in yourself that when men in the early years, when they did business, they would always shake with the right hand, which was a sign of a seal that the deal was done. And when God offers his right hand, you can count it done. And when God, what he does with his right hand, he protects you with his right. He protects you from the elements, the sun by day, the moon by night. Can you imagine the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and they were going in the wilderness? They had to live in the wilderness for 40 years. They couldn't escape the elements. That's why God flung that cloud by day to give them some shade. And at night when it would get cold, and there was no way to get new blankets because you could go from summer to winter in one day, he would be the protector for them so that frostbite and other things would do them no harm. That's the kind of protector that we have from the natural things that we can see, things like sun, things like moon, and things you cannot see. God is our protector. He's our refuge and strength. He's a present help in the time of trouble. That's one of the things about this coronavirus and COVID-19. None of us know who's the person that's carrying it. You can't see it. It doesn't show up until it shows up in a test. And for many, it's too late. So we need the Lord to be our protector. As we're talking about opening up the economy and opening up our business as usual, I wouldn't want to go anywhere without having the assurance that God was protecting me. God doesn't want you to become recluse. God doesn't want you to become so paranoid that you cannot be able to release yourself and to be able to trust him. You may not be able to trust other people, but you can show trust him. He's proven his trustworthiness over and over again. The Lord is our protector. He's our keeper. He's the shade upon our right hand. He's our defender. He provides the shadows just when we need them. And he provides the warmth even in the night when we need it. And the Lord here is the one who makes promise. And when God promises that he will protect you, you protect it. Have you ever heard what Jesus said in John chapter 10? Jesus said this. He said, once you are in my hand, no man can pluck you out. That's protection. That's security. And that's the kind of security that I want to live. And so now I've learned over these days that I've been home and I've been praying. I've been declaring more and more what God has said. If God say I'm protected, I'm protected. If God say I'm free, I'm free. If God say I got favor, I got favor. If God say I'm secure, I'm secure. If God says he's going to provide, I'm provided for. You got to learn how to trust him. And that's what this psalm is all about. And if you hear the words, and not just hear the words, but heed the words, and recognize that God is your help, that God is the one who is your keeper, that God is your protector, then some of the fears that you may be experiencing can disappear because you know where your help comes from. You know who's your help. You know that he's going to keep you. He's going to preserve you. He's going to make sure that you're all right. Around-the-clock protection. That's what you have in the Lord. Sun by day can't mess with you. Moon by night can't mess with you. That means folk that you see can't mess with you. Folk that you don't see can't mess with you. Sometimes things that try to slip up on you never get a chance to make it because God stop it. That's why I used to hear my mama pray, Lord, protect me from dangers seen and unseen. And I need God to protect me from those dangers. Seen and unseen. But lastly, let's not hold you. God is a preserver. God is a preserver. How many know what a preserver is? A preserver keeps you. It's another form of keeping, but it's a form of keeping that does more than keeping. It keeps you in this right place all the way throughout. Now, along the pool there at the house, we got preservers. So if I need to throw something out there, it's called a life preserver to help sustain somebody. But God is not just a life preserver in that sense. But God's care includes his unlimited ability to take care of you from all evil. Evil that lives within you. How many of you would be honest to know that there's enough still in there? Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, but still got some stuff there that I need to be protected from. I need God to protect me, preserve me from me. And I certainly need him to preserve me from you. Pookie, Nay Nay, Ricky, Riri. All of them. And then some. From Boaz and from Boaz's dangerous cousins. I ain't going to talk about them today. I'm going to come back another time and talk about Boaz's dangerous cousins. You know them, don't you? Boaz, lazy ass, drunk ass, stupid, and so on. We're going to talk about them another day. Boaz's cousins. I need God to protect me from them, from all evil. Not only this, but from this time and forevermore. I need God to preserve my soul. Your soul is the part of you that you can't see. It's the part of you that doesn't show up when you go to the doctor on the x-ray machine. Your soul is your inner man. It makes up of your will. It makes up of your mind. It made up of your emotions. That's the part of you that lives continually, because that's the part of you that came from God. You got to remember, in the creation, when God was creating, when he looked at what he wanted and called out of it what he wanted it to be, that became what it was. But when he got ready to do the human, he did not look at anything that was already in existence. He spoke to himself. God said, let us make man in our image. And God is a spirit. So out of God, bow, jump man in pure spirit form, his soul. But God did not want the man to live in pure spirit form. So he goes to the soil and he scoops out of the soil and he forms a body and he blows the breath of life into that man, and that man became a living soul. So when physical death comes, the moment your body takes its last breath, your soul exits the body and goes to be with the Lord. Your body is deposited into the ground, waiting on the day of reunion, resurrection, when Jesus shall raise your physical body, and your physical body and your spirit are put back together, and it changes forms and lives forever and ever. Maybe I'm preaching too fast, but listen at what he says. God is the one who preserved my soul. So he preserves the spirit part of me, and he preserves my dust. And he waits to the right moment to put them together. And he preserves them forever and ever. The Lord watches over you. That's what he says. That's what he says in the seventh verse. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Then in verse 8, he said, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. What is going out and coming in? That's your daily life. I don't know what's going to happen when I walk out of that door. I don't know what's going to happen before I get back home. But God is the one who has promised that he would preserve my going out, my coming in, not only now, but from this time and forevermore. Thank you, God, that you are my preserver. Thank you that you are my protector. Thank you that you are my keeper. Thank you that you are my helper. And because you are, all of the glory belongs to you. All of the praise belongs to you. All of my hallelujahs belong to you. You deserve the praise. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve whatever worship I have. When I think about 129 years, God, you've been our helper. God, you've been our keeper. God, you've been our protector. God, you have preserved this family all of these years. And we want to give you the praise today. We want to give your name the glory. We want to give your name the honor, because you deserve it. Now let me appeal to somebody who's here today. Somebody who might be laying on a bed. Somebody who might be in a hospital room. Somebody who might be in a jail cell. Somebody who might just be looking at this on your phone. You know that you don't have that right relationship with God. And so therefore you don't feel that you have the help that I've been describing. And you may feel today that no one is interested in keeping you. And that you feel all by yourself, that you are unprotected. And that you don't know what's going to become of you. Well, I want to invite you to invite Jesus into your heart. As you begin to form a relationship with him, you will have all of these benefits. And you can walk every day with assurance. So you say, I can have them, Pastor. How do I get them? Right where you sit, right where you are, you have to pray. You have to acknowledge some truths. You have to recognize that you haven't done it well. You haven't done it right. You have to tell God, God, I know that I haven't lived according to your will, your way. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to become who you want me to be. Help me to be all of that I might have those benefits. Now, how do you do that? You have to acknowledge that God had a son whose name was Jesus. You got to say, I believe that your son Jesus came into the earth, and he did die on a cross. And that death on the cross wiped out, paid my sin debt in full. And that's what enables me to receive your grace today, God. And so now I want you to come into my heart. Help me to become the man, the woman, the boy, the girl you want me to be. And I'll follow you to the best of my ability the rest of my life. Friend, if you prayed like that, your life changed. But I want to tell you, you got to go a step further. You need a church home. Someone that can help nurture you and help you grow. You can become a Christian without being a church member. But a Christian without a church member, being in a church, is like an orphan without a family. If you'd like to unite fellowship with Greater Shiloh, you can do it today, even if you're remotely away from us. As a number on the screen, you can call. Someone will help you. You just need prayer because you're feeling the weight of your precious. Call our prayer line now. Whatever you need today, we'll hear you. We'll answer you, and God will help you. We want to praise him now. We want to give him all of the glory, all of the honor, because he deserves it. Doors of the church open anytime during this song. Make your call. Make your move. As we continue to worship God.
My hallelujah belongs to you, your Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, yeah. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve it. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah, yeah, yeah, it belongs. Lord, my hallelujah,
my hallelujah,
yeah,
it belongs to you.
Oh Lord, yeah,
my hallelujah belongs to you.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Oh.
we say,
all of glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, yeah.
All of the glory
belongs
to you.
All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord.
All of the glory belongs.
Today, all of the praises, all of the glory belong to you. You deserve it, God. Anybody who can take our life and help us, keep us, protect us, and preserve us deserve all of the glory that we can give.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.